are you and what are you doing here?
Hi, everybody.
Well, what are we waiting for?
This is fantastic.
Hello, hello, hello.
This will only hurt for 22 minutes.
It's very early. I may have to hurt you. Call me in 5 minutes.
This is something that is treatable. This is something that is fixable.
Hey, this is not a test.
Oh, my God, it's early.
Show together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are ya? Pulling off from the steam bath? Boy, it's sweltering out there, I think, anywhere in this country, so take it easy. Bring plenty of fluids, cool down, and hang out with us. We've got another mashup of music and musings, heavy duty on the cool tunes, including your favorite Forgotten 45s, all served with side orders of steaming pop culture, political commentary. And inspiration as well. We'll get to it. Olympic-sized craziness out there from the GOP candidate. Donald Trump, is he raring up for that long vacation? We will talk about all his recent gaffes. Also, some scandal is percolating in the Clinton camp, but it's not really hurting her for obvious reasons. We'll discuss. Love to get you in the mix, too. Are you listening live? It is Friday, August 12th, 9 a.m. out west, 11 central, noon here in the east. Number in motion, 347-857-4505. Twitter feed is abuzz. You've been bursting at the seams, so we got to do it today at AB Writes. And Aurora's in the booth with our social media maven, of course, with our Facebook page. So have at us and let me know what's on your mind. We'll get to it, I promise. The show today is brought to you in part by Old Navy. Believe it or not, it's time for back-to-school fashions and great savings at Old Navy. Yeah, kids, coming up soon. Also by PopNet. It's arts, culture, and conversation on air, online. PopNet features select editions of the Amy Beth Arkowi Show. So we're raring to go. I think I lost count, but he must be beyond his 19th nervous breakdown. Donald Trump, that is. Grab yourself a hot cup if you dare, or a tall, cool glass of Joe, and let's go. Is there iced coffee, Koch, a pop-up edition, Olympic-sized? This race is rigged deal. Yeah, join us on the Amy Beth Arkowi Show.
The kind of person you meet at
It goes out into the universe to all these faceless people, and you can pretend that they're hanging on your every word.
It's much too groovy a summer's day to waste running round in the city. But here on the sand, I can dream away or look at the girls if they're pretty. It's a turn down day, nothing on my mind. It's a turn down day.
Hey,
Vacation, V-A-C-A-T-I-O-N, in the summer sun. Connie Francis of Forgotten 45 for Gandhi on the Amy Beth Oakley Show. Thanks so much for chiming in. Also, The Circle, also circa the 60s, and Turn Down Day, nice little summer tune. It is a turn down day because it's too hot to do anything else, right? And RNC, the Republican National Committee's favorite group, Crazy Elephant, and Gimme, Gimme Good Lovin', and maybe some bitter poll results. Also, the Stones opening things up with, well, I think we lost count. Is it Donald Trump's 19th or maybe 88th nervous breakdown? Indeed. Hey, thanks so much for hanging with us today and so much for the conversation off air. We've been chatting throughout this week about what seems to be a virtual implosion on the part of Donald J. Trump. Is it self-sabotage? Subconsciously, he doesn't want this gig, never did. Is he a stalking horse for Hillary Clinton? I mean, what the heck is going on with this guy? But it's craziness, and it's kind of dangerous, too, in a lot of ways. I will say this, and you know I'm a supporter of Hillary Clinton's, but had she had another opponent, somebody more formidable who could just, you know, toe the line and not go off the rails like Trump does, she would be in deeper weeds because of all the scandals percolating around her. Minor they may be, and there's nothing there, so many of her supporters believe. But the email scandal clings on with some folks, and there's this new thing about the Clinton Global Initiative and so-called pay-to-play thing, which I don't think is really true. I mean, the idea of influence, currying favor and all of this, that goes on all the time. And everybody's picking particularly on the Clintons. I don't know if that's fair, but certainly more will be made of it. Some is being made of it, but more will be made of it if we weren't focusing so much on Donald Trump and his seemingly debilitating mental health. What this guy is doing and what he's about, I don't get it. Now, he says, of course, we know that the big thing earlier this week was the Second Amendment people comment when he sort of insinuated that maybe somebody would take out Hillary Clinton. I mean, that's a very despicable and dangerous use of rhetoric in an age where he's already fomented so much anger and fear. He backpedaled, of course, said he was joking, first he said he was joking, then he said he was out of context. What he meant was people should mobilize and use their vote. Of course, he was talking about after she was already in office. So it's very strange and very murky and scary. Then he comes up with this comment yesterday, about President Obama is the founder of ISIS. Again, open to interpretation. A lot of people try to backpedal on his behalf by saying what he meant was he left a vacuum open so that ISIS could be created by pulling the troops out too soon, etc. But he doubled down, tripled down on that on a conservative radio show with Hugh Hewitt, where Hugh Hewitt tried to get him out of it so many times and said, I know what you mean, but he said, no, I mean he's the founder of ISIS. Well, after having more flack, he's come out on Twitter and said, obviously I was kidding, the media is making more of it for ratings, don't they understand sarcasm? Now, you can't have every which way but loose unless you're Donald Trump, and he does. Of course, he's also said, which I find my favorite quote, when they started talking about he's ill-equipped, he doesn't have the right temperament for this job, he came out and said, I've been told I have one of the great temperaments. By who? He told himself, remember when he said, people asked who will be your advisor? He said, well, the first person I'll listen to is myself because I have a big brain, and I said a lot of things. There you go, another thing he said. He also said he got so far by beating all those people in the primary, he's not going to change his temperament or strategy. He is who he is. And yesterday, I believe, he said, listen, if I don't win, I'll go back to my great life and I'll just take a long vacation. So I ask you, do you think he really wants to get out of this somehow? Is he trying to back out? The RNC is having a confab apparently in Florida today to talk about how they're going to disperse their funds. There are a lot of lawmakers and former lawmakers and RNC honchos who want Reince Priebus and the brass there to divert their funds, forget about the lost cause that is the Trump campaign in their estimation, and focus on the Senate and House seats, which are up for grabs, and some of them are lagging behind the lack of coattails that Trump offers. I don't know. Too soon to tell. It's only August. There could be an October surprise. We know Julian Assange claims he's got something that he's holding out, and WikiLeaks may reveal he certainly has it in for Hillary Clinton. Do you think he wants to throw the race to Trump? Could he throw the race to Trump at this point? I mean, the polls, even with all the mini scandals percolating around Clinton, the polls show she's beating Trump in a lot of key places and some surprising places. Just a poll today came out in North Carolina. Get this, Hillary Clinton 49, Donald Trump 38, or 39 rather. I'm sorry. I mean, that's crazy to me, isn't it? For North Carolina, so she's winning. She might even have a shot at Utah because Utah has a very large Mormon population, and the Mormons are not so keen on Trump because they don't like that Muslim ban. They feel like they're a persecuted religion, and they're very open to immigration and other people, and they just don't like him, plus not to mention all his his crazy lifestyle, which for some reason a lot of the other evangelical Christians have bought into. There's a crazy guy named Kenneth Copeland, one of these TV preachers who said, if you don't vote for Donald Trump, your children, you'll be destitute and you will have gay children. Don't get it, do you? Twitter feed, AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505, and we're on the Facebook page as well under the promo. Thank you, Aurora, for that. So reach out and let me know what the heck you're thinking about and what you're doing in this very hot, hot August day, which will be a hot August night, too. Here's one from Neil Diamond for Sammy on the Amy Beth Arkley Show.
Hot August night, and the leaves hanging down, and the grass on the ground smelling sweet.
Salvation.
I don't know if we want to send that one out to Donald Trump or those of us watching the unfolding spectacle that is the presidential race 2016. We'll send that out to Pierce, who chimed in via Twitter as we were playing it. A great song, girl. You got it on the money. Thank you, Pierce, for chiming in. And Neil Diamond, lots of folks say, think that one's called Hot August Nights. The real title is Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show. It fits in beautifully with this not-so-beautiful weather, if you know what I mean. And no joking, it's a heat wave throughout the country, so certainly a steam bath in my neck of the woods. Please take it easy. Stay as cool as you can and as comfortable as you can out of the hot sun. I see people running. I went out early this morning for a walk. It was bad enough kind of walking into the swamp, but midday sun is not a time to go jogging, kids, really. Early morning, late afternoon, late evening maybe, out of the sun. And stay hydrated, please. And don't forget to check in on your neighbors, especially the elderly, little kids, and the pets. Don't forget your pets do not like this weather either. So take it easy, please. Hey, thanks so much for chiming in. We're talking about the presidential race, of course, and a lot of folks are concerned about the Republican candidate. In fact, they're having that confab in Florida because there are some lagging races, places like even John McCain is falling behind his Democratic rival in Arizona. In New Hampshire, Kelly Ayotte is falling behind. In Pennsylvania, Pat Toomey is falling behind. A lot of Republicans may fall by the wayside. Could the Democrats actually win by a landslide and reclaim the Senate? We'll see. I don't know. I don't know what will happen in the House. That seems to be too gerrymandered in and baked in, but you never know, I suppose. Wow. We'll see what happens. On the other hand, Fritz says, don't believe it. The polls are rigged. They want people to stay home, come out. There could be a landslide Trump all the way. All right, we got Trumpians among us, and I like it. I just wish you'd give me a cogent reason why you could still stand by this guy and want to vote for him. Carla says he's going down. I think he'll withdraw. Then we'll get Pence, by the way, too right-wing for me. Yeah, I'm not for Pence either, but at least he's not nuts, right? I mean, really, the Republicans had so many choices. It's true. How they bargained for this guy and how he managed to win will be mind-boggling for years, will be studied for years. There'll be many a course taught about it, many a dissertation and a book written about it. This is a fascinating and disturbing time that we live in, I have to say. It's disturbing because this man is still fomenting fear and hate in ways that I think are unprecedented in a presidential race, and he could still win. Now, he's falling behind in all the polls right now, but we're still in August, and we don't know. Hillary's precarious, and what may or may not come out from WikiLeaks or someplace else, who the heck knows? It is just something to be concerned about, I think. I know there are people that don't think it's concerning either way, and we have enough checks and balances to handle it. I think what he has done, though, is taken this to a whole new weird level, and I don't mean weird in a good way. Your take, please. Twitter feed is AB Wright's. Phone line is 347-857-4505 if you're listening live on Friday, August 12th. And we have the Facebook page open as well. So let's see a few more tweets. Do we have a couple more of these? A couple of folks posted the Time magazine cover for this new week. Bonnie saying, latest cover, another day for POTUS. Let's see what Trump toddler, she says, hashtag Trump toddler says or does today, always something new. And it's that picture, I don't know if you saw it, Time magazine with Trump melting, a face of him, and it just says meltdown. Picture of Donald Trump. He has had something of a meltdown, and it just seems to be a new version of it every day or every week. It's amazing, and it certainly does detract against anything that people might want to say about Hillary Clinton in the negative. So I guess she's enjoying it, right? 347-857-4505. AB Wright's on the Twitter feed. Johnny Fever's Hangover chiming in, listening live for a change. Love the show as always. You're spot on about politics, and you're playing good tunes. Well, we're trying. We're kind of having some fun with the tunes because I think they kind of cool us off and psychologically and physically, too. Just relax and enjoy. We could, in fact, even feel a little groovy with a tune or two. Here's Harper's Bazaar and the 59th Street Bridge song for Cecilia. Happy to have you aboard. Hello, lamppost, what you knowin'? I come
no rhymes for me. Do it and do do, feeling groovy. No deeds to do, no promises to keep. Dappled and drowsy and ready to sleep. Let the morning sun drop all its petals on me. Life, I love you, all is groovy.
Of no rules, no rules whatsoever.
It's summertime, 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 summertime,
summertime, summertime, summertime, summertime, summertime. Shut them books and throw them away. Say goodbye to doleful days. Look alive and change your ways. It's summertime. Well, no more studying history and no more reading cheese.
Summertime, 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 summertime,
summertime, summertime, summertime, summertime, summertime.
It's summertime.
Over bridge of sight, to rest my eyes in shade. The dreaming spot to Ichiku Park, that's where I think.
What did you do there?
I got high.
What did you feel there?
Well, I cried.
But why the tears there?
Tell you why. It's all too beautiful. It's all too beautiful.
They all come out to groove about, be nice and have fun and listen. A
tell you what I'll do.
What will you do?
I'd like to go there now with you. You can miss out school.
Won't that be?
Why go to learn the words of food?
What will we do there?
We'll get high.
What will we touch there?
We'll touch the sky.
They all come out to groove about the mice and have fun in the sun.
It's all too beautiful. It's all too beautiful. It's all too beautiful.
England's finest, swinging radio, England, where the music is new.
Yeah.
call it the flower girl, but it's not. It's the rain, the park, and other things from the Castles. Forgotten 45 for Denise on the Amy Beth Arkowee Show. Small Faces, too, taking us to Ichiku Park for Brenda. The Jamies having fun in that summertime. And Harper's Bazaar, yeah, a tune that Paul Simon penned, and Simon and Garfunkel had something of a hit with it as well. 15th Street Bridge Song is the official title, a.k.a. Feeling Groovy. We're feeling pretty groovy, despite the heat outside, so stay cool and comfy indoors and enjoy the tunes and the commentary here as you're joining us via Twitter at AB Writes. If you're listening live, of course, on Friday, August 12th, you can call us, too. Put those tin cans and a string together, 347-857-4505. Preferred way via Twitter, I know, at AB Writes, where Bonnie chimes in. She says, lots of talk about Trump dropping out. Don't think it'll happen, but it's fascinating. What would happen? Well, they've been speculating. I think last week they started talking about this idea that he would actually be forced out or dropped out. I don't think they can force him out. He could drop out, I suppose, or take ill or something, but I don't know what they do. They could reconvene. I think that's what they said. Reconvene some sort of a mini-convention with RNC honchos and come up with a candidate. I don't think it would automatically go to Mike Pence, but maybe it would. I don't know how they would do it and what kind of backlash that would get from his very rabid supporters. I mean, the supporters are off the chain, too, and this is where he's feeding into a lot of this fear and anger. Now, he may make off-the-cuff commentary and remarks and rhetoric, which he then dismisses as jokes or sarcasm or what have you, but, you know, once you unleash those words, it's not just what you're saying, it's how people are hearing them and interpreting them. Now, sure, of course, none of us can be completely responsible for what other people do to our words and our work. You know, if you thought about that too much, anybody who's a writer or a commentator, a communicator, any kind of an artist, would be paralyzed because you would be afraid to say or do anything. I get that. Anything can be misconstrued. But there are certain words that act like dog whistles, and there are certain things and certain people who are in positions of power or would-be power who have so much influence over a large number of people that they really need to be careful with their words. I mean, some people say Hillary Clinton is too careful and she's uses too much legalese and dances around things. That may be true in some cases, but you can't be on the other side, Donald Trump, recklessly using language and going places that are too dangerous in a time when we are so divided, and he is adding to it. He is, you know, as I said, I don't think he caused it initially. The problems are out there, the frustrations, the fear, the anger, it's all there. It's all real. He tapped into it, but he stoked it. And he stoked it to proportions that I think are unwieldy and very dangerous, and he's still doing it. He's still doing it. It's crazy to me. I don't get it. Your feelings, of course, Twitter feed AB Writes, phone line 347-857-4505. McNamara1 says, hey, I don't know, but I think he's going to win by a landslide. Folks are pretending they're not going to vote for him. Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting because there were some theories out there about what they call the secret Trump vote, that people would not tell pollsters what they were really going to do because they were ashamed to admit they were going to vote for him, but they really are. But now there's some people that think there's also a secret Clinton vote among Republicans who say, you know, we're not going to vote for Hillary Clinton. And a lot of Republicans are defecting. And they're saying, well, I can't vote for either one, so I'm going to do either vote for the Libertarian candidate maybe or do a write-in. Like Susan Collins, the senator from Maine, who totally denounced Trump earlier this week, one of the biggest defections. But she says she's not voting for Hillary either, which I doubt. I think she's going to vote for Hillary. She says she's going to write in maybe Jeb Bush. She's never voted for a Democrat, but she worked with Hillary. And I don't know. I think when push comes to shove and you know it's that binary choice and you think it's too dangerous, you might, you know, push that lever or fill in that hole, that circle for Hillary. I'm not sure. We'll see. So that's interesting. It may be true. I don't know. But in 2012... it was the same story. They kept saying that the polls were rigged and Romney was really going to win. Well, guess what? The polls were not rigged. Romney didn't win. And, in fact, the polls were wrong because Obama won by a bigger margin than had been predicted. So I don't know if the polls are right either. I'm always skittish about that because who's polling who? I don't know. Occasionally I've been polled, not very often. So, yeah, we don't know. And we don't know. Every sampling is different, and a poll is only a snapshot of that particular day, that particular group of people they polled. But when you start seeing them breaking out all over the country in such a way, and we're talking swing states and states that may, in fact, are traditionally red states like North Carolina, Utah, Arizona, that are very close with either Trump having a minor lead or Hillary Clinton actually having a minor lead, that is kind of startling. But we're only in August, and yes, things can change. But he hasn't pivoted, and I don't think he's going to pivot to a more presidential stance because every time he tries to do that with one of his teleprompter, what I call deer-in-the-headlight speeches, he can't cut it. I mean, he looks like it's so scripted. He had that hostage video last week when he was reading on cards that he finally endorsed Speaker Paul Ryan and Kelly Ayotte and John McCain. He was reading it like he was a hostage video. not off the cuff. He said, there I do it. I did it, like he's looking for a gold star. He's hard to manage, and he doesn't think he has to, because either he believes that he really will win because his style is his style, or he doesn't care if he wins, or maybe he doesn't really want to win. I mean, there's that other theory that he didn't get into it thinking he was going to win. His ego is too huge. He couldn't back out, and now he can't believe it, because if I ever saw anybody ill-equipped for this gig, this is this man, both in terms of temperament and kind of intelligence. Somebody put an article saying, well, is it time to believe he's really not as smart as he claims? I don't know, because when he speaks, he sounds, frankly, either stupid or crazy. He doesn't sound like he's so great and so bright. He keeps talking about how he's the most educated man on the planet, yet when he speaks, he doesn't sound that way. Now, of course, people misspeak all the time, regardless of your education. He has a down-to-earth, gruff, street kind of sense, which is why he's the blue-collar billionaire, and people can, quote-unquote, relate to him, though I don't get it. He was always a rich kid, always spoiled, had a history, if you go back to that movie, Trump, What's the Deal? They chart his history from a young age all the way through, and it hasn't gotten better since. So his history of working the system to his own advantage and trampling on the little guy is there and well-documented, and he admits it. And basically, he brags about it because that's the system, and I'm a business person, so of course I did it, and I used it. And people who are downtrodden, who are looking for someone to be their big defender and their big savior, are looking to the wrong guy, I think. I just don't. It's a disconnect for me. It's been a disconnect for me from the beginning, which is why I'd love to engage a Trumpian with more than one little tweet to tell me what the heck is so great about this guy. Not that Hillary's so bad, and not that the system is rigged and Washington needs to be cleaned up, because even if you agree with all of those things, why is this the guy that's going to be able to clean it up? What about him and his history indicates to you that this guy can get the job done? I don't know. Is it because he makes his ties in China and his jackets and shirts in Mexico? I mean, everything is outsourced because he's screwed over every kind of contractor and person you can name, tenants, homeowners, students for that Trump University. I mean, you can go on and on and on. I don't know what about him and what he's done and his track record says to you he's got the answers and he's going to fix the system. I just don't get it. Your take, Twitter feed AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505. As he tries to support the religious vote. Everyone but the Mormons seem to be on his side.
It's bigger than you, and you are not me. The links that I will go to, the distance in your eyes. Oh no, I've said too much. I said
was just a dream. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep up with you. And I don't know if I can do it. Oh no, I've said too much. I haven't said.
Son of a Preacher Man on the A.B. Beth Orkowitz Show, and the great one from R.E.M., Losing My Religion, and Donald Trump trying to cling to the religious right and their votes, speaking at a convention the other day with religious leaders begging for help from Utah. He said, anybody here from Utah? He looked really beleaguered that they don't like him in Utah. Kind of low energy, too, I hate to say it, right? Yeah, they're not favoring him, the Mormons, and they've got this new guy, Evan McMullen, who is a Mormon, I believe from Utah, or he went to Brigham Young University anyway, and he is a former CIA operative and congressional aide who has thrown his hat into the ring making an independent bid, probably too little too late, I would say, not a household name and can't get on all the ballots, but certainly could take votes away in some places, including Utah, which I think he is on the ballot or getting on the ballot. So kind of fascinating how all this thing is unfolding and who's helping who, and then again, what can be done if he drops out. Fascinating story, indeed. And we're watching history in its making in real time. That's the fun of current events, or history in the making, you know, as we see it. The and they'll rewrite it for us later. Twitter feed is AB Wright's, phone line 347-857-4505. Some folks chiming in. John says, remember, a nutty dude who can't remotely control himself is the GOP nominee for POTUS. If you think this terrifies our allies, or if you don't think this terrifies our allies, you're crazy. Yeah, I am sure it does. It terrifies a lot of people. That's for sure. Sam says, the great thing about America is freedom of choice, and this election voters get to choose among two competing hypocrisies. A lot of people don't like either choice, and that's why some of these third-party people, like Gary Johnson, are doing pretty well. He's polling not great, but better than some people might have predicted, depending on the state, I guess. Jill Stein, who seems a bit flaky to me, a Green Party candidate not doing quite as well, and, of course, name recognition is part of it. And now we have this new guy, Evan McMullen. So we'll see what happens. Cheryl says the super PAC launches to back Evan McMullen's independent presidential bid, hashtag stand up with Evan. So there are people who are trying to push this guy. And we'll see. I don't know what his point is, I guess, because he knows he can't win. But I guess to be a spoiler against Trump and make a name for himself in the process. So we'll see. So what do you think is going to happen? Honey puts out a poll, says, do you think that Donald will crumble? Donald will be a no-show. Oh, this is the debates. What will happen at the debates? The Donald will crumble. The Donald will be a no-show. Hillary will LOL, or the world will LOL. Or all of the above. Well, fine, see what happens. That was the other crazy thing that came out about the debates, the wrangling over, I guess they have three debates scheduled. And all the debates, apparently, I don't know, are on nights when there are also NFL games. So Donald Trump was complaining, kind of whining about it last week, that they should renegotiate the dates, and that he said, he claimed he got a letter from the NFL complaining that the NFL wanted to have the debates on a different night. Now, the NFL never sent that letter. And then he had these surrogates, who I really hope these people get paid well, because these poor people have to go out there and spin this Donald Trump baloney umpteen times a day. And when faced with the idea that, hey, this letter never went out, one of the surrogates said, well, he spoke to a source who's close to the NFL. But that's not the same as getting a letter. So why would you double down on something that can be easily verified? You know, if you're going to be a liar, this guy lies with impunity. I guess he's pathological and he can't help himself. But why invent a letter? Because a letter is something that can be verified, and somebody can say, we never sent you that letter. Where a phone call, you can say, I heard from somebody, and they're not going to mention who it was, and it's vague and all this other stuff, gets you out of it a little more easily. But there's no getting out of things. There's no admitting you were wrong, admitting that you lied, admitting mistakes were made. It's a lot of doubling down on the Trump campaign. That was the same thing that we talked about with the convention, with the plagiarized speech that Melania gave. They doubled down on it being authentic for 3 days until they finally threw somebody who may or may not really exist, the speechwriter, under the bus. It's easier to cut these things off at the pass, but there's something about Donald Trump, and it's infiltrated his entire campaign, that they can't apologize or admit they were wrong. And that also doesn't bode well for his character and for what he's going to be like as president, because mistakes do get made sometimes, and people sometimes have to say they're sorry. The whole thing with the family, the Gold Star family that he insulted. I mean, that was really when the train derailed for most people, including many Republicans, because here he is picking a fight with a couple who lost their son in battle, in this defending this nation, and calling it a vicious attack when the man admonished Donald Trump for not reading the Constitution is crazy, and going on and on with it in both his rally rhetoric and his Twitter feeds. It just doesn't quite compute, and this is where he lost a lot of people at that point. So it's one implosion after another in a succession of weeks where other things are popping up about Hillary that could have been focused on, and it's just not. So it's so bizarre and entertaining on one hand, but very scary on the other, because the prospect of this guy winning still looms, and what the heck would he do if he gets it? I mean, really, it's scary to think about. Twitter feed is AB Wright's, phone line, you know, is 347-857-4505. And yes, we do indeed have the Facebook page open, too. Love to do our Inspiration to Action Challenge. The success stories continue to come in through the mailbag, and I do appreciate it, because it makes me feel good that it's working for you, and I'm glad it is. So keep at it and let us know. I want to say hi to Deanie. I think it's Deanie, right? Deanie in, where is Deanie from? Champlain? Is it Champlain, Vermont? Says, revving up the creative engine again. Thank you so much. The Inspiration to Action Challenge has really helped me. It takes a while to get into the groove, at least it did for me, but I've been doing it for months now, and I am having a better outlook on life, doing poetry, and working on my garden. Well, thank you, Deanie. I'm so happy it's working for you, and it's put a smile back on your face and given you a little spring in your step, because that's kind of what it's about. As I always say, it's to kind of readjust our outlook. And, you know, I'm going back to doing it myself because I've gone through, as you know, some tough times in the last couple of months. And just to get myself, my head back on straight and focused in a creative mode for writing again, I'm kind of revisiting my own challenge and saying, let's try it and let's do it. And I do find myself feeling a bit better as I go each day. And I think if you do it and you commit yourself to sitting down with that and just writing down, you know, that one thing that you're grateful for, the one thing that inspires you, the one thing that brings you sheer joy. And then after that, you know, it becomes a free-form journal. Then I start off and I do other journaling. You can do that or just leave it at the three things. You do. Then you want to start winding in, you know, a couple of acts of kindness that you've bestowed upon someone or someone's bestowed upon you. And later, after you're ready, and some people need a few weeks, some people need a month or two, we'll start talking about goals and action plans. But just start, you know, getting that journal going and writing things down. It's a tactile thing when you write your pen. And I always say, you know, I like the pen and paper connection. And just try it and see if it helps you access something that's deep down inside you that you want to reactivate, a sense of joy and playfulness and creativity for whatever you're doing in life. And it doesn't just apply to people who want to be artists or writers or what have you. It could be anything, just to get yourself a better outlook. And I think I'm always so gratified when people tell me it's worked for them in so many ways. And I think it can work for you. I can't promise. I never promise, but I think if you try it, it may. And if you need help getting there and you want a little cajoling or, as one of our success stories said, coaxing of the soul, I'll be happy to do it for you. Send me a message over at the website, either with a success story or a shout-out for a conversation. It's amybetharkawy, ARKAWY.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed. And we'll connect. Give me a couple of weeks. We'll do it. And I'll give you a primer on the challenge and a couple other, you know, tricks and tips that might help you get on a good course, and we'll see what happens. So take it from there. Relax, get into it, and see if it can help you become more creative and productive and happier, because that's really what it's all about. So again, thank you so much, Jeannie, for reaching out. I do appreciate it. Hey, while you're at the website, you want to peruse my stories, you're looking for a great beach read, you can dive into the Eliza Gordon Mysteries, Killing Time, Dead Silent, and the new one, Murder, She Tweets, all available for ebook and paperback from Cozy Cat Press. You can drop me a line for guest suggestions as well, as we're getting revved up for the fall. So there you have it. All that at the website, amybetharkawy.com. So let's swing back to a couple more songs. We've got a little more time. This one is, I love this one. The guys have some good tunes he came up with, and Trudy found them for you in the archives. This one is for Ronnie. It's a tune called Lido Shuffle from the great Boz Scaggs on the Amy Beth Arkley Show. Enjoy.
Just love enough.
Taking me out of the ball game. Bruce Springsteen on the Amy Bethurkley Show for Phelps and Jim, a couple of guys who will be at Yankee Stadium tonight to watch the final game of Alex Rodriguez. The beleaguered star will play his last game in Yankee pinstripes. All right. There was a guy with so much talent, dazzled so many, and yet was beleaguered by those scandals regarding steroid use, etc. But there he is, saying sayonara tonight. All right. Lito Shuffle 2 from Boz Gags. It is the Amy Bethurkley Show, Twitter feed AB Writes, where Sammy chimes in. Hey, love your show. We'll catch most of it on podcast, but good going, great comments, and music. Well, thank you, Sammy. I appreciate it. And Dilly chiming in. Like the show, like the commentary. I'm with you. Trump's a wreck. Yeah, he's a wreck, but he could be our train wreck, really. Right, that wreck train right to the White House. Not good. Speaking of wreck trains in the White House, this past week, August 9th, marked the anniversary, August 9th, 1974, when Richard Nixon resigned officially and Gerald Ford became president under, of course, the great Watergate scandal. A few years before that, the great troubadour Phil Oakes sang about the state of Richard Nixon. Give a listen.
Here's to the state of Richard Nixon. For underneath his borders, the devil draws no line. If you drag his muddy rivers, nameless bodies you will find. And the fat trees of the forest have hid a thousand crimes. And the calendar's lying when it reads the present time. Oh, here's to the land you've torn out the heart of. Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of. And here's to the schools of Richard Nixon, where they're teaching all the children that they don't have to care. All the rudiments of hatred are present everywhere, and every single classroom is a factory of despair. Oh, there's nobody learning such a foreign word as fair. Oh, here's to the land you've torn out the heart of. Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of. And here's to the laws of Richard Nixon, where the wars are fought in secret, Pearl Harbor every day. He punishes with income tax that he don't have to pay. And he's tapping his own brother just to hear what he would say. But corruption can be classic in the Richard Nixon way. Oh, here's to the land you've torn out the heart of. Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of. And here's to the churches of Richard Nixon and Billy Graham, where the cross once made of silver now is caked with rust, and the Sunday morning sermons pander to their lust. All the fallen faith of Jesus is choking in the dust, and heaven only knows in which God they can trust. Oh, here's to the land you've torn out the heart of. Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of. And here's to the government of Richard Nixon. In the swamp of their bureaucracy, they're always bogging down. And criminals are posing as advisors to the crown. And they hope that no one sees the sights and no one hears the sound. And the speeches of the president are the ravings of a clown. Oh, here's to the land you've torn out the heart of. Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of.
I like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing $4 is trying to find me. delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Political and social import indeed. Janis Joplin on the Amy Beth Arkwright Show for Melody. Thanks for the reminder. That song was penned and performed at the Capitol Theater in Portchester early August 1970, 46 years ago. The Capitol Theater just in my neck of the woods, which has revived. It's a landmark theater now with all kinds of great performers, including Joan Baez and Bob Dylan. Not on the same bill, but that would be great, right? And, of course, Phil Oakes, too. And here's to the state of Richard Nixon. Indeed, politics has always been strange in this country and fascinating to watch from the sidelines. We're immersed in it now, that's for sure. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. Thank you so much for your tweeting in real time and commenting to us. Continue to do so 24/7 at AB Writes. You can follow our producer, Trudy Hart, on Twitter at Radio Trudy. Friend me on Facebook if you're so inclined. And don't forget, you can follow the Amy Beth Arkwright Show with all the shows archived for podcast at the Blog Talk Radio site, also on Stitcher and Mixcloud, iTunes and NetNow, and be on a listen for select editions on PopNet and the Arts Radio Network, and all roads lead back to the website amybetharkowee.com. Thanks to the TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora in the booth, working hard on their vacation today, and ML at headquarters as well. Thank you so much for playing with us in real time. I look forward to you hanging out with us throughout the coming fall season. Be on a listen for our summer encore series. I think we'll do up our Elvis special next week, and maybe another pop-up coffee clutch or two along the way. Whatever you do, I hope you have yourself a great weekend. Drive safe, play nice, dream big. Please stay cool and comfy, and come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkwright Show. I'll leave you with one for Tanya. It's from the Sanford Townsend Band called Smoke from a Distant Fire. Stay cool.
Right out from my- right when